Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos Daf Lamed Zayin. We begin on the very last line of Lamed Vav Omid Beis. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Pauline Konigsberg, Peril Chaya Bas Avram HaKohen, and Aich Klein, Chaya Rezel Bas Naftali Hertzke HaKohen. All the Shams we learn from Shem Aliyah from our learning. Now, we remind ourselves that in yesterday's shir, we brought down the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that a woman who is a captive does not lose her status of being a kosher woman. As the Mishnah had said, Rav Yehuda Omer, Shvuya Sheniftes, the woman who was captured and was redeemed, Harehi Bikdusha, so she stays in her status of being a woman who is entitled to her Knas, if she, Rachman Lislam, is an Anusa or a Mefuta. Now, we had two different explanations of Rabbi Yehuda Shita. The first one was Rabbi Yochanan, who said, this is based upon the fact that Rabbi Yehuda does not assume that the woman was held as a captive. And he brought down Rabbi Dosa's Shita that said, what's the worst thing they're going to do to her? They're going to unfortunately molest her, they're going to touch her possibly, but they're not necessarily going to assault her because they are concerned that they would lose their ransom if they in fact assaulted her. The opinion of Rabba was, no, chote niskar. And Tosus now, in the bottom Tosus, we call Mokum Kashi, says that the entire series of questions that we're going to now continue to ask is Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan. It's only in his understanding that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the woman is not going to be assaulted when she's a captive, and therefore that's why she remains in her state of Kedusha. As opposed to Rabba, who says the whole idea is because of Shelo Yechot Niska, so none of these are actually going to be questions against Rabba's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. In any event, let's now begin the Gemara. Again, the bottom line of Lamed Vav Omid Beis with the words Rami Le Rapapa Bar Shmuel Rav Yosef. So Rapapa Bar Shmuel points out the following stira to Rav Yosef, and he's asking Rav Yosef to give him an answer. Our Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda holds, as I said, Bikdusha Asa Kaima, the woman remains in her Kedusha, so we turn to Lama Zayin Amud Aleph. Is that really true? The son of Rabbi Yehuda, Bikdusha Asa Kaima? I'll show you. He says in another Brisa that she doesn't remain in her Kedusha, so there's a steer between our Mishnah and the Brisa as to what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. And it says, what time? It says in the Brisa, Hagioris Shiniz Gaira. You have a woman who had been a Goita, and then she converted. Viroa Sodam. And now, on the first day, as Rashi points out, Viroa Sodam means Bo Bayom, on the first day that she converted, top Rashi. And he says that this Gioris who sees Dam, now this is Dam that would turn her into Anida, and any Kachim or Taharis that she touched would now become Tmeya as a Goita, so she doesn't have the ability to be Matama Midaraisa, and on now that she converted, now this dam would be considered dam that would make her tmeya, and this would, in fact, anything that she touched would become tummy. So Hagiorish in the sky of Rosa dam, on the very day that she converted, after the conversion, so she sees dam. So what's the halachic status of all the kachim and taharos that she has touched in the last period of time? If she was a Jewish woman, we know there's a famous machlokis as to how far back you go in terms of saying that any taharos or kachim that she touched are tmeya. So here in this brisa, Rav Yehuda Omer Daya Shaita. He holds that it is sufficient, it is adequate to just say, Mikan Ulahaba, going forward, anything that she touches is tmeya, but we don't have to be concerned about anything that she touched in the past. As Rashi explains in Dibur Maskil Daya Shaita, Lo Gozrubo Tuma, Tumas Me Eis La Eis, Latame Taharo Shenoga Behen, Mishas Tvila Ad Shas Ri'ya. We don't go back and say that this woman, in fact, anything that she's touched in the last 24-hour period of time, or in this situation, from the time that she went to the mikveh and she became a Jewish woman, so we don't say that everything within this period of time, from the tefillah until her actually seeing the blood right now, we have to be concerned that she was tmeya already. The minute after she came out of the mikveh, she was tmeya. And therefore, we go back in time and what goes there, that any taharis that she touched would become tmeya. We don't do this because da'afilu yotzo dam zeme esmo, because even if this blood came out from before she went into the mikvah, then midua kosle beis harechem, and it just stayed inside of her, shezeu atam shomiyes leis bibnos Yisrael. That's the reason that we have to be concerned by Abbas Yisrael, this going back in time, the eis leis, until either a 24-hour period, or mipkido lipkido, that we go back to the last time that she checked herself. We have to be concerned that maybe there was blood that had come out. The blood is inside of her body. It hasn't come out of her body yet, but that blood was metama, because it moved from the rechem into the vaginal vault, and as a result, that blood has left her body, and she is tmeya. Halo dam kinanis kidam behema. But we don't give the status of the dam to a goyish lady to have any status of being able to be mitami. It's no different than the dam of a behema. And therefore, the im tomar necho shemo mishetov lo nekar. So if you're going to tell me, okay, so from the moment that she went to the mikvah, now she's a Yiddish woman, so now maybe the blood came out from that point in time, the yotza miyad, and therefore she should be tmeya from the moment of the mikvah. Go back in time, let's say 10 hours ago, to the moment when she went to the mikvah. So that's as far back as you can go. So we say, no, tumul l'mafreya d'rabbonin. This whole din of how far back we have to be choshesh, whether we go me'es l'es, we go me'pikida from the last time she checked herself to right now, which could, according to some opinions, could even be several days. Me'es l'es means that we maximize it in a 24-hour period of time. But this is entirely a din d'rabbonin. That's when it's mi'es leis shole gozer mipkidul mikidor. So then we are gozer over here to go back. That's only if you can go back completely. But here v'hechad lo gozer mi'es leis, since there is no gizer over here mi'es leis, since there is no 24-hour period of time. It's less than 24 hours since she went to the mikvah and became a Jewish woman. So lo gozer mipkidul mikidor. They likewise didn't go back and say that we have to assume that she's tmeya midrabanan all the way back to the last time that she checked herself. She inserted a cloth and there was no blood. So then we know that there was no blood. There was nekar from her rechem. So this is a din by Yisraelis, by a Jewish girl, that we have to do this. But you can only go back mipkida lepkida or miyeis leis if there's at least a 24-hour period of time. And here there is not. And therefore, that's why it's right. She was critical of Ross Adam Bo Bayam, teaches us that this din doesn't apply to this woman who was converted. So this is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We're not so much interested yet in this part of the Braisa. We're going to get to the second part of the Braisa, which is Akasha. So Rabbi Yehuda says over here, Dai Yishaita. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no. Harei hi kichol hanoshim, utamah mi'eis leisim u'kid l'b'kid. He says, no. Rabbi Yossi says that we are, in fact, machmer over here to be concerned about this. And just like every Jewish woman, according to Rabbi Yossi, if she were to go and see blood now, we have to go back to either a 24-hour period of time or from the last time that she checked herself. If she checked herself within 24 hours, then we only go back mi pikida l'pikida. But if she didn't check herself within 24 hours, then it's sufficient to just go back 24 hours. So the maximum amount is 24 hours, but it could be less if she happened to have checked herself within the 24-hour period of time. In any event, this is a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in terms of the giorish and his gaira. Now we get to the point that we're interested in. The Braisa continues and says, Utsricho lahamtin shlosho chadoshim diri Yehuda. Review the holds that we have to be concerned that this woman, in fact, while she was a guy, that she, in fact, had relations during the last 3 months, and therefore, because of the principle of Havchana, we want to make sure that we know who the father of the child is, so, and whether the child was of Jewish origin or not of Jewish origin, in terms of the mother being a full Gioret at that point in time, so we have to be concerned and not have her marry somebody and not have her have relations, certainly, with somebody for a three-month period of time to separate the fact that she was a guy from the fact that she's now a Gioret. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda clearly states that we are choshesh that as a non-Jewish woman, she in fact did have relations. So similarly to the captive woman, Rabbi Yehuda should have said that we should be concerned that the woman had in fact relations. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda be consistent? Why does he say by the Gioret that we're concerned that she had relations, but by the Shvuya, we're not concerned that she had relations? That's going to be the question. But let's just finish off the Braisa. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi's matel, he already said, Rabbi Yossi's not concerned. He said, no, she can get married the day that she converts, and if she wishes to, perfectly fine, and she can have relations with her husband, and we're not concerned at all about Havchana. No, we'll have to explain Rabbi Yossi in a second. But for now, let's concentrate on the seeming stira between Rabbi Yehuda and Amish, who says, Bikdusha sor kaima, and Rabbi Yehuda and the Raisa, who seems to say, no, that we are concerned that the woman had relations while she was a goita. So the Gemara says, no, it's an obvious answer, Amalei. So Rabbi Yosef responds back to Rabbi Papa Bashmul, who asked him this question, the stira between the Mishnah and the Raisa, and he says, no. How can you question Gioris Ashvuya Karamis? Most of you are probably thinking of this teretz yourself. Said the Brice is talking about a Gioris. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah was talking about a Shvuya. The two aren't the same. Why? Because Gioris lo mintura nafsha. The Gioris has no restraints. She's having the mores, the ethics of the Goyish world. And therefore, they do believe that there's nothing wrong with having relations. And therefore, she's not necessarily going to do anything until she becomes a Jewish woman to be more tznias. So therefore, by the goita, we definitely have to be concerned of havchana, that maybe she had relations with somebody, we want to know who the father of the child is. As opposed to shivuya, a woman who's captured, so she's a Jewish woman. She's going to want to protect her tznius. So, mintru anafsha, she's going to certainly protect herself, and therefore, there is no concern that she had relations with her captor. Because, again, Rav Yochanan's understanding of Yehuda is he holds in general that when they're held for ransom for a financial reason, so they're not going to be assaulted. So that applies over here too, to the Jewish woman who's captive. But the Goita, so they don't necessarily have that same tznius. Lo mintra nafsha, they don't necessarily go and protect themselves. Okay, now she's going to become a Jewish woman. She's going to come under the umbrella of tznius. So therefore, from now on, she will protect herself, but there's no guarantees beforehand, and therefore, Yehuda said, that's why we have to be concerned about Havchana with the Yoris, and we don't have to be concerned that she lost her Besulim, and therefore, it doesn't have the Knas when she was a captive. Yehuda, Savar, Bikdusha, Sa, Kaima. Okay, now, we still have a question over here. The Gemara says the Rav Papa Rashmul continues to persist to Rav Yosef. He says, still, V'rami Shvuya, Ashvuya. But, okay, you're telling me that I shouldn't have gone and asked the question from Gioris to Shvuya, but I'll ask the question directly from Shvuya to Shvuya and show you that there's still a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. And the Tanya, we see this from another Brisa. This Brisa says, Beferish, about a Shvuya. It says, HaGioris, a woman who converted. V'Ashvuya, a woman who was captured. And a Shivcha, a woman who was a Shivcha Kinanis, and then she was freed. In all of these situations, Shinizdu, the woman was freed from captivity, Vishiniskairu, or she converted, or Nishtachru, or she was a slave woman, and now she was turned into a free woman. And Yeseros al-Benos, Shalosh Shonav Yom Echad, as long as they were older than 3 years and 1 day, where we assume that they definitely were assaulted and their Besulim was taken away. So in all of these situations, even the Ketana, as Rashi points out, we make a Gzeira for the Ketana who can't get pregnant, so there's no Din of Havchana, but we make a Gzeira on all of them when they're Ketana, because when there'll be a Gedola. So Tzrichos Lahamtin Shlosha Chadoshim, the Brisa clearly says that you have to wait 3 months. We are concerned that they were assaulted or voluntarily, willingly had relations while they were either a Gioris, a Shvuya, or a Shivcha. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Divri Rabbi Yehuda, who clearly therefore says, we are concerned that the Shvuya had relations, so how come in our Mishnah he says, B'kdushasa kaima, and therefore she's entitled to the Knas of Anusa Mufuta? Here in the Brisa, he clearly says that we have to be concerned that she had relations. And again, here in the Brisa, Rav Yossi says, no, you're allowed to go and get married right away. Why doesn't Rav Yossi concern himself with this? We'll say in a moment. In any event, this question that Rav Papa Bar Shmuel asked Rav Yossi had no answer for, and therefore Ishtik, he was silent. And he asked Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, no, maybe you know the answer. Sometimes a person is sitting and talking and learning, so he wants to ask the question, but he also knows the answer. So Rav Yossi said to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, no, me di shmiel loch b'ha, you asked this question, maybe you heard an answer to this question? So he said, yes, I did, omalei. Hochin la Rav Sheshes, this is how Rav Sheshes answered this question. He said, shera'uha. You're dealing over here in this Brisa with witnesses that saw that she, Nebuch, had had relations with her captives. They forced her to have relations with her. So while in general, Rav Yehuda says, B'kdushasa kaima, but if you know for a fact that that's not true, so then, obviously, that's not true. So the Brisa says, in this situation, where you know that she had relations, therefore, even Rav Yehuda would say that you have to wait 3 months, the period of time of Havchana, to make sure that you know who the father of the child is. She shouldn't have relations with her husband, who she's allowed to return to if she was assaulted, or if she was a non-married woman, she shouldn't get married for a three-month period of time. That's what Rav Papa Bar Shmuel says, Rav Sheshes said. Moore says, so then, if this is true that there are witnesses, how do we possibly understand Rav Yossi who says, Mutul Liyaris Linasim Yad? So, Ihochi, my time with Rav Yossi, it doesn't make any sense. So the Rabbi explains, no, because Kosovo Rav Yossi holds that even if this woman, Nebuch, was assaulted, or she willingly had relations, Isha Mizana Mishameshes Bemoch Shalot Tisaber. If a woman, in fact, was having relations, she was committing znus, so then she would make sure she doesn't get pregnant. There was a certain understanding that even if you were committing znus, you didn't want to get pregnant. And therefore, they would go and use a moch. As Rashi says, they would prepare a moch. A moch is some sort of like a sponge that would absorb the zera that went into the woman. They would put it in after they had the relations, and it would absorb the zera and would prevent it from getting pregnant. And therefore, there is no concern of havchana in this situation. Rav Yossi isn't saying that she didn't have relations. Rav Yossi is saying that she didn't become pregnant. And that's why mutar liyaris nosim yad, because there is no concern of havchana in this situation, because any woman who was mezana would definitely use this contraception, this moch, to absorb the zera and not become pregnant. So Gemara says, okay, that's great for the Gioris, Bishlomo Gioris. According to your understanding that if a woman's going to be Mazanic, she's going to use a Mok, so this Gioris, no, she's going to become a Jewish woman. So Kiva the Daito Lia Gurye, Menatra Nafsha. She's going to go and protect herself from becoming pregnant. That's why she says, Umizamenes Lomok. If she's going to have relations while she's a Gaita, so she's going to use a Mok. She knows in a short period of time she's become a Jewish woman, and she doesn't want to become pregnant while she's a Gaita. And likewise, Shivuya Nami, Rechmona L'Slam, the Shivuya as well. The Lo Yodo Hecha Mamtula, she doesn't know where and when she's going to be redeemed, so she might be redeemed at any moment. As Rashi says, Shebayim L'Mochwa, they're coming to sell her. So maybe in this town they'll ransom her. Besovra, and she's going to say, Dilma Mimatula L'Gabi Yisrael, she's going to come into the next town with Jewish people and they're going to redeem her. Ufarkula U'minatra Nafsho L'Shamish Shemoch. And therefore, even if she is going to be with a guy on a willing basis, and certainly if she's assaulted, so she's going to prepare this moch and prevent her from getting pregnant. So for the Giyorit and the Shavuya, so we can understand Rav Yossi's reasoning. And even a Shivcha, Shivcha Nami. Why is the Shivcha going to prepare herself from becoming pregnant? Because the Shama Mipi Mara, she's going to hear her master say to her, listen, I'm going to free you shortly. You're going to become Mishuchreris, you know, next month. So I'm going to retire and then you can become free. So she's going to know that. So in all of these cases, the Gioris, the Shuya, and the Shivcha, so in all of these situations, she has advanced knowledge that she's going to, in fact, become a free Jewish woman, and therefore she's going to protect herself from becoming pregnant. And that's why Rav Yossi says, in this situation, because there's no way she's pregnant, there's no reason to be worried about Havchana. But there's another reason that a woman who was a slave goes out, and that's with Shein V'ayin, El Yotzeh B'Shein V'ayin. If a slave, an Eved Kenani or a Shivcha Kenanis, has their eyes knocked out or their tooth knocked out, so then they leave. This is called Shein V'ayin. So in this situation, there's no knowledge that you're about to have your tooth knocked out, your eye knocked out, so the woman is going to be mishameshes. She's a shivcha. She doesn't care. She's not worried about getting pregnant or not getting pregnant. There's no reason for her not to get pregnant, and she's not going to necessarily be mishameshes b'moch, and therefore, Michael Amemer, how can you say over here, Rav Yossi, that if she goes out, this Shivcha, who's Mishtachreres, it could be she's Mishtachreres because of Shein V'ayin, so why is she Mutal Yoris Nosim Yad? Why isn't Rav Yossi concerned about Havchana in this situation? I'm going to tell me that, in fact, Rav Yossi is concerned in that situation. V'chitema, call me Mela, Lohem Rav Yossi. You're right. Rav Yossi says only if there's a reason to assume that she was Mishameshes B'moch because she was expecting to get freed or to become a Jewish woman in that situation, then Rav Yossi says Mutal Yoris Nosim Yad. But in the situation of Shein V'ayin, which is what he calls Mimela, it just suddenly happens. So in that situation, so Taka, Rav Yossi would say, no, also you have to wait 3 months, like Rabbi Yehuda, there would be a Havchana period of time. But then, how come, Harei Anusa Umifuta, the Mimela, so Anusa and Umifuta, the relations suddenly occurred, weren't necessarily expected. Now, Rashi's not going to the word Mifuta. Rashi says that we're dealing over here with Harei Anusa, the Mimela. Only a woman who's assaulted doesn't know that it's going to happen. A woman who's a Mafuta has some expectation that this is going to happen. She's a willing participant. Knew those that are Goris over here would say that it was unexpected, even for the woman who was willing, but she didn't expect it to happen. So that's if you're Goris the word Mafuta. But it's much easier not to be Goris the word Mafuta and say that an Anusa is the same exact thing as Shein V'ayin, just like the person doesn't expect their eye or tooth to be knocked out, so to the woman that didn't expect to be assaulted. So this is also the Mimela. So then, according to this, Rav Yossi would say that an Anusa should also have to wait a 3 month period of time for Havchana. But it says, Vitanya, Anusa, Umafuta, Tzricho, Slamtim, Shlosh, Chodoshim, Dir, Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yossi is Matil, Yoris, and Osmiyat. So Rabbi Yehuda is consistent that you do have to be concerned, but Rabbi Yossi, even though this is Mimela, the woman was assaulted, or possibly also Umafuta, seduced, again, depending on the Girsa, Rabbi Yossi says, no, she's Mutil, Yoris, and Osmiyat. So how come in this situation she wasn't Mizamenes Moch, she didn't prepare for herself to have this contraceptive, this sponge, this cotton that she puts inside of her to absorb the zera? So how come, if you're telling me that he's only saying when it's not Mimela, Rav Yossi Shita, but if it's Mimela, such a Shein V'ayin, she does in fact have to wait Havchana, so then the same thing should apply to Anusa, possibly Mufut as well. And therefore, how come Rav Yossi there is Matil Yossi Nosmiyad? So it seems to be an inconsistency in the way you're understanding Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, Yataka, right? El Omar Rabba says this is the understanding of Rav Yossi. Not because she's going to be Mizamenes Moch, but Kesava Rabbi Yossi, Isha Mezana, a woman who's committing adultery, a woman who's committing znos, Mishapeches Kadesh Lotis Aber. She's going to go and turn herself. She's going to have the Zera drain out of her. Just like with the Moch, the Zera will be absorbed. So too, if she turns herself in certain ways, this is an effective contraception. As Rashi says in Dibur Masa Mishapeches, She Yetzi HaZera, she's going to turn herself so the Zera will drain out of her body and not go into her, and she will not become pregnant because she does these maneuvers to prevent herself from getting pregnant. So Rabba says that's the reason of Yossi, and this would apply even for a woman who was an anusa mafuta. Now, as a machlokis, according to Rashi, this seems to apply even for a woman with shein va'ayin, that in this situation as well, she would always not want to become pregnant, and would be mishapeches even in this situation as well. Whereas others say, no, in the shein va'ayin case, this wouldn't apply, but would only apply in the case of the anusa. In any event, this is the understanding of Rav Yossi. No, why didn't Rav Yehuda say this? Rav Yehuda says, no, we have to wait 3 months. Why wasn't Rav Yehuda also saying mishapeches? So the Gemara says, v'idach Rav Yehuda, he doesn't hold mishapeches because chayshinon shem alone evcho yofa yofa, because he says this isn't anywhere near a 100% effective method of post-coital contraception, that this woman turning herself in a certain way, so maybe it will decrease the likelihood of her getting pregnant, but it's certainly not a guarantee. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we have to wait 3 months in all these situations because we do want to know for certain. We want to have the principle of Havchana to know 100% for certain who the father of the child is. Okay, that concludes this. So again, now we go back and quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, the Pasuk, now the Mishnah, we had a different girsa for the Pasuk, and I said in the Gemara, it would have the right girsa, which we changed in the Mishnah as well. So here we read the right girsa. Shnemar, v'lo ye'ason, anoshi anesh, kasher yoshis olav, bal ho'isha, v'nosam biflilim. So again, we translate this in the following way, that if there is no ason, in other words, if the woman herself doesn't die, so then there's an ocean nation, a sam biflilim, that we have to go and pay a financial penalty for the miscarried children. But if the woman does die, so then there is no financial penalty. And this was the source of Kom Lehmi D'Rabbanei in this situation. So the Gemara questions, really, is this the source of Kom Lehmi D'Rabbanei? Thought Mihocha Nafka, but we already had Mihocham Nafka, we already learned previously, Kidei Rishoso. We have the famous pasuk that tells us, V'yoyim bin hakos harosha, v'pilo hashofet, v'ko l'fanov, Kidei Rishoso, v'mispar. You get makos only if it's Kidei Rishoso, which means, Kidei Rishoso, mishum risho achas ato mechaivo, you only pay one of two penalties, v'ato mechaivo, mishum shtei rishuyis, but you don't have to pay for two different penalties. In other words, there is a principle of Kom Lehmi D'Rabbanei that we learn now from Kidei Rishoso, that you only pay for one and not for two. So why do we need this extra pasuk of V'lo Yason, an Oshia Nesh, that the Mishnah tells us, that it's Kom Lehmi D'Rabbanei. So Gemara says, we need both of them. Chodo V'miso U'mamon, the first pasuk that teaches us V'lo Yason is to teach us that when you have Miso and Mamon, there's Kom Lehmi D'Rabbanei. And the second pasuk, Kidei Rishoso, is V'chodo B'malkos u'mamon. That's to teach us that if it's malkos and mamon, you still only have to go and pay one. You don't do both. So Kom Lehmi D'Rabbanei applies when there's capital crime and financial penalty, and when there's makos and a financial penalty. Now, why can't we learn one from the other and only have one pasuk? Which really, you need each pasuk, because each one has a point that it wishes to accent on. The Ashmin on Miso Mamon, because we only have the pasuk that teaches us about Miso and Mamon, the first pasuk, Lo Yehason. So you know what I would have said? Mishum De'ika Ibud Neshama. In that situation, because there's a loss of life over here, as Rashi says, Yesh Kan Onesh Chomor V'dayo B'kach. You're killing the person for having committed murder. And therefore, this Misa is based and is so strict, so that's enough of a punishment. And therefore, we don't go and also add a financial penalty. Mishum de'ika ibud neshama, that's why there's Kom Lehmi D'Rabbanei. No, but avo malkus u'mamon, if you're just giving lashes, so then we would say, then you also pay the financial penalty. The lek ibud neshama, there's no loss of life over here. Same alo, maybe Kom Lehmi D'Rabbanei doesn't apply. So therefore, you need the second pasuk, Kidei Rishoso, to teach us that Kom Lehmi D'Rabbanei applies even in the situation of malkus and mamon. No, so just tell me that, and then won't I know Misa? V'yashminan ma'alkus u'mamon. If you only had the pasuk, Kidei Rishoso, to tell me that you only get one of the two, either ma'alkus or mamon, but not both of them, Kom Lehmi D'Rabbanei, so dea mishum delo chomi risure, because it wasn't such a serious violation that he committed. Whatever he did to get ma'alkus, he hit the person, and he then also caused damage to him, so therefore we say in that situation, Kom Lehmi D'Rabbanei, because after all, he just hit the person. Avo miso mama, where he killed the person and also ripped the shirt at the same time. In that situation, I would say, the chomer isure, it's such a strict issue that he did. Emelo, I would say in that situation, kamalim with the rabbinate shouldn't apply, and we give him both punishments, and therefore we need the pasuk, v'lo yason sricha, to teach us that kamalim with the rabbinate applies in that situation as well. Now, this is great. According to the opinions, it says, come maybe the rabbinate applies. But Rav Meir, who says by Malkus and Mamun Dorma Loku Mashali, that you get Malkus and you have to pay, so he doesn't hold come maybe the rabbinate in Malkus and Mamun case, so then, Tarti Lomeli. So what does he do with the Pasuk of Kidei Rishaso? We understand he needs our Mishnah, the Pasuk Lo Yason, Anoshi Anes, to teach us by a capital crime. Even Rav Meir says in that situation, come maybe the rabbinate. But by just Malkus and Mamun, Rav Meir doesn't hold like that, so what does he need the second pasuk, Kidei Rishasu, for? So Gemara says, no, he still needs two pasukim as well. Chodo b'misav mamon, yeah, he needs the first pasuk, v'lo yason, yeah, that he needs to teach us, the kamalim with the rabbinate applies b'misav b'mamon, and we turn to Laman Zayin in the days, and he needs the second pasuk of Kidei Rishasu, the chodo b'misav malkus. That's to tell us that if there's two penalties, misa and malkus, that we apply kamalim with the rabbinate over there. And again, utzrich, you need both pasukim. You need Misa and Mamon to tell me come with the rabbinate, and you need Misa and Malkus come with the rabbinate. You need both psukim, even according to Rav Meir. Utsrich, why do you need both psukim? Because the Ashmina Misa Mamon, if we only had the pasuk of Misa and Mamon, if we only had Lo Yason, so you know what I would have said? Mishum dechado begufe, dechado bebamone, lo avdina. Because these are two separate penalties. One is on his body, that's the Misa's based in, and the other one is on his money. So I would say, in that situation, yes, we apply commonly the rabbinate. We don't give two separate punishments. Either give the punishment on the body or give the punishment on his wallet. But we don't give both. So therefore, commonly the rabbinate applies. But avol misa umalkus, when a person transgresses something for which he can get misa and he can get malkus for, the edi begufe, both of them are corporal punishments, both of them on his body. Therefore, I might have said that the malchus is just an extension of the misa. And mamisa arichtahi. The malchus is the start, so to say. You give him the lashes and then you kill him. Benavid bay, and you should do both of them. And therefore, it's one punishment, an elongated corporal punishment of malchus and misa. So maybe komlemi the rabbinate doesn't apply. Oh, that's why Rav Meir says, no, it does apply. We need the pasuk de rishaso. No, so just tell me that. Yes, we need a misa malchus. I just know that. And in that situation, if we apply komlemi the rabbinate, why wouldn't we say certainly in misa and malchus that you'd apply it? He says, no, because the tarte begufe lo avdina. Because one could make the argument that if it's the same punishment, corporal punishment on the guf, so then we don't give both. Tarte begufe, giving both lashes, and to go and give misa, so that lo avdina, that we don't do. Because it's the same type of punishment, it's corporal punishment. But when it's two separate types of punishments, avo misa, which is on the guf, and mamon, which is on the wallet, so the chod of begufe, the chod of mamon, one is on his body and one is on his possessions, so then maybe we would say, emo navibe, we would apply both. So therefore, tzricha, you need the pasuk, lo yason, the teacher's commonly with the rabbinate applies in that situation as well. So that's why even Rabbi would say you need both psukim. Mark continues to ask a whole series of questions now about other psukim that seem to teach us this concept of commonly with the rabbinate and what chidish is by each of these new psukim. So the Gemara starts off and says, based upon what we just said, we already know the din of kamalim with rabbinate, so why do we need the pasuk? Velo sikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach. The pasuk says that you can't take money for a person who's supposed to get misa. Lomeli, why do I need that? After all, kamalim with rabbinate. It seems that you don't charge the person a financial penalty as well as give him misa. So Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. The pasuk is telling us over here, don't take, so to say, a financial payout instead of giving him Mises based in. So the guy's very rich. He says, listen, I did a terrible thing. I killed so-and-so. Instead of taking my life, here's $1 million I'm giving to the public funds, and you can use it for lots of good things. You know, you can use it for all sorts of programs for the public. So let me pay $1 million rather than be killed. So that's what the pasuk is telling us. When it says, lo sikul kofer, le nefesh oseach, don't take money instead of giving Mises based in. Lo tishko mamonamine, so we don't allow a person to, so to say, pay his way out of getting misas based in. Okay, that's why we need that pasuk. What about this pasuk? It says, now we have the girsa lo sikhu kofer, but it really is vilo sikhu kofer lonos el ir miklato. Lomeli, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that you don't seemingly pay money and also go to the ori mikla? After all, come with the rabbinate, we understand.
So Gemara says again, that's not what the pasuk means. The Amar Rechmana, this pasuk is telling us, don't take money instead of the person going to Golos. The guy says, listen, I'm supposed to go to Golos. I'll be accident. I killed this person, and I'm supposed to go to Golos. But listen, I'm a big businessman. If I'm in Golos, I'm not going to be able to do my business. I'm willing to pay you $1 million, and I don't go into Golos. So that's what the pasuk is telling us. Lo tishko mamona minei betifterei min Golos. Don't take money from the person instead of going to Golos. So we have the first pasuk, Lo siko kovel nefesh, which we have to tell us that don't take money for somebody who's supposed to be chayav mises based in. You can't exempt him from the mises based in by taking money. And likewise, you can't exempt the person from Golos and take money instead. So again, why do we need both of these psukim? Utrei, kiroi, lomali. Why couldn't I learn one from the other? Where it says you need both of them. Because chad b'shogeg, b'chad b'mezit, utzriche. Because one is telling us about an accidental death, and one is telling us about murder. And you need the pasuk to tell me by each of them that each one you can't pay your way instead of having mises basin, you can't pay your way instead of having golos. Why do I need both? Why couldn't I learn one from the other? Because the Yeshbin amazing. If you only taught me the first pasuk, Lo siko kovel nefesh roseach, that if a guy is chayav mises based and he can't pay $1 million to get out of mises based, then I would have said mishum dechomer isure. That's because this is a real serious sin. He killed somebody, so we're not going to let him pay $1 million to get away with it. Avul shogeg, when a person didn't do a real serious aveira, no, he should have been more careful, but he wasn't. So he chopped down the tree, and nebuch the tree fell on somebody and killed them. So he should have been more careful. However, he's not a rasha like the murderer, and therefore I might have said b'shogeg, yeah, we'll take $1 million instead of making gold to golos. The lo chomer isure, it wasn't such a strict violation that he did. So therefore, amalo, maybe we would allow him to go and pay his way out instead of going into golos. Oh, so that's why we need that pasuk of lo sichu kofa lunos eliyah mitlato. No, and if we had that pasuk, we actually mean shogeg. So you tell me, oh, I automatically, if you can't do it by shogeg, certainly can't do it by mezid. I would say maybe not. Mishum deleko ibn neshama. I would have said in this situation, by shogeg, the guy's just going into golos, but we're not killing him. So, okay, golos, go into golos rather than take $1 million. We're not going to let you get off with paying money because you're still alive. You're going into golos, but you're still alive. But in the case of Misa, Avo Mezid, where the person is going to die, the Ika Ibud Neshama, so we might say over there, listen, this person is going to die, and we have to do everything possible to save this person. No, we couldn't save him in court. He was found to be guilty of Misa's Mezid, but for $1 million, we'll let him go out. The Iko Ibn Neshama. So maybe we would allow a bribe in that situation. Aimalo, maybe we would allow him to pay instead of being killed. Therefore, Tzricha, we need that pasuk as well. Lo Stichu Kofel Nefesh Rotseach. Therefore, I need that pasuk to tell me, even there with his Ibn Neshama, we don't allow him to pay his way out of the Misa space. Now we have another pasuk. It says, V'lo Oretz Lo Yuchupar La Domesh Shuvach Bo Ki Medam Shovcho. What do I need that pasuk for? That pasuk says that you can't go and have the land be atoned for a person who spilled blood. So you have to go and kill that person, and you can't let them go and pay money to get out of it or do some other sort of atonement to get out of it. So why do we need that pasuk? Lomeli, we just had the pasuk that said, Lo sik kofer lenefesh oseach. So the Gemara says, no, I need it for the following. Boy leilich etatanya, I need it for the following brisa. What does it say in the following brisa? Minayim shem nisar for eglo v'yachachin m'sar horeg. Minayim shem potrino so. Now, this is the din of egla rufa. Let's remind ourselves what this din is. That if they find a dead body in between two cities, so they measure out to see which city it came from, which is the closest city, and that city has to bring what's called the egla rufa. They go and decapitate this egla that they bring. They don't do it like shlita. They go and take an axe and they chop off the animal's head from the back of the neck. Shlita is done from the front of the neck. This is done from the back of the neck. And this is done with an axe. And in this situation, the town, the people get a kapara for not having properly escorted this person. The Nebuch, he was probably killed because he tried to attack somebody. He didn't have any food, and therefore he was destitute. And in any event, he got killed. So the bottom line is, if they went through this entire egla arufa process, and the town got its atonement, and then they go find the murderer. So, minayin shein potrin oso. How do we know that we still go and prosecute this person, and he'll be, if they aid him hasra, then he'll get mises based in. We atoned for already with the egla arufa. So the answer is no. So you need this pasuk not to teach me the din that you can't pay instead of mises basin, but it teaches us that even if there was a process of egla arufa that provided an atonement, that's not good enough. You have to go and still prosecute this murderer if you go and find him. No, we still have another pasuk. It says, you have to go and get rid of the clean blood, of the innocent blood from your midst. In other words, if somebody committed murder, you have to go and punish them. What do I need this for? I already know that there's no way that they can get atonement any other way. So Gemara says, no, I need this pasuk for something else. I need it for the following brisa. What does this brisa say? How do we know that if somebody is getting misa sayif, which is they're killed with a sword, based and goes and chops their head off? Now, how do we know that they don't just stab him in the heart? How do we know that you go and cut their head off? You do a guillotine on them and not just stab them in the heart and let them bleed to death that way? Because Talmud Omer, the pasuk says over here, "V'ator tevar hadom hanoki mikirbecha," and this is the same lashon, "Hukshu koshovchei domim legla rufa." So this is made the hekish to the egla rufa, which is right next to it. This is a hekish in the psukim, and this comes to teach us the following din. This hekish, malahalo minatzavor, just like with the egla rufa, that we go chop its neck off. Its head off from the neck. So af shovchei domim minatzavor. So too, the mis of saif is from the tzavor. Shmuel says, if this is the hekish, then let's carry it through all the way. Then imalahalim bekupitz, it by the egla rufa, it has to be with an axe. Ul mimul orif, and from the back of the neck. So then we should go do sayif as well with an axe and from the back of the neck. Avkan the kupitz ul mimul orif. So why don't we do misa sayif that way? In fact, misa sayif is not done that way. So I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rabba Baravua. So Rav Nachman says the name of Rabba Baravua. That's based upon another pasuk. This pasuk is in Sanhedrin, is used very, very frequently in terms of the Mises Basin to teach us what the four Mises Basins are. And on my crop, because the pasuk says, V'ahat l'recha kamocha b'ror lo miso yofa. We have to go and figure out of the four Mises Basins, Skila, Sreva, Herig, and Chenek, they have to be the most humane possible way to do each of those. B'ror lo miso yofa. You have to do it in the most humane way. Granted, we are giving a person Mises Basin, that's what the Torah says, but the Torah also says is they have to be a hatalech kamocha and do it in the most humane way. And going and doing sayif by taking an axe and chopping off the head from the back, that's a much more painful and difficult way to die, and therefore cutting off from the front is a much more humane way, much quicker and less painful way if you use a sword and you cut through the arteries and veins in the front of the neck. That will kill a person very, very quickly. Okay, Gemara continues and says, what about this pasuk? It seems to be unnecessary. Kolcheir Masher Yochoram Min Ha'adam Lo Yipodeh. Lovely, what do we need that pasuk? This pasuk again seems to be telling us the same principle, that you're not allowed to go and not give somebody Misa who's supposed to get Misa by having them pay off. The pasuk says, a person who's Chayav Misa can't be atoned for in any other way. You have to go and put him to death. That's what the end of the pasuk says. The end of the pasuk says, Mos you must. So Gemara says, nope. I need that pasuk. I need that pasuk for the following drasha. If somebody's about to be brought out to be killed, misas based in v'yomer echon. If somebody is watching, he says erech olai. The value of that person based upon his erech is upon me. So minayin shelo amar klum. If the person says this about the person who has been paskin to be misa for misa, and he's being brought out to the place where they're going to do the Mises based in. So how do we know that if somebody says the evaluation of that person, the Erech is based upon the gender and the age of the person, and he says that person's value as Erech is upon me to give as a donation, he didn't say anything, because the person going out to Misa has no evaluation. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, oh, our Pasuk, Kocher Masher Yochoram, Minu Adam, Lo Yipodeh. Such a person has no value. Yochol af kodem shenigmar dino kein. So I might have thought when the person is on trial, the same thing is. If he's ultimately found to be chayav misa, so then he had no evaluation even at that point in time. That's not true. Gemara says Talmud Omer. It says kocher mashi yocharam min ha'adam. Min ha'adam lo kol adam. Not every single person. It's only the person that's paskin that he should have misa based in. So such a person loses his evaluation, and you can't say Erko a lie and give that money to Tztaka, because that person has no Erech at that point in time. Not everybody agrees to that. Rav Chananya ben Akavya, who says that he does have an Erech, Yomar Nerach, the person does have an Erech, Mimeshu Dom of Kitzuvim, because this is based upon gender and age. And while this person has no value on the open market as a slave, so in that situation, everybody would agree that if you said what his worth is on the open slave market is now what I'm donating to Tzaka, then that's zero, because he's worth nothing on the open slave market. But Erech, which is based upon two things, gender and age, so Mipnei Shadom Ksuvin, that's a set amount, so that would apply over here too. Haikol Cheru in my Ovid. So according to Rechanan Yenakavya, this pasuk of It's unnecessary. What does Rabbi Hananya ben Akabi do with this pasuk?
So Gemara says he needs it for the following. He needs it for the drasha that we learn in the following brayso. Rabbi Shmuel ben Beno shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer. He says as follows. Lefi shemotzinu lamu mosim bidei shomayim shenostin mamom miskapalein. We see that under certain circumstances, people that get misa bidei shomayim are able to get a kapora by giving money. Shenemar im kofer yushas olov in a sampid yonavsho. So therefore, that comes to teach us that under certain circumstances, one is able to go and pay instead of getting punished. Now, where do we see this? So Rashi points out. If somebody's ox goes and kills another person, it says over there, you must, that he shall die. Now, it's not talking about Mises Basin. More Mises Basin, they're not going to Sanhedrin. More Sanhedrin tells us that most you must, Hamaker, Rotzeachu, that when it says that we kill a person for killing somebody else, that's Arizikhaso. When he goes and kills somebody else, Atargo, you go and kill him. But the Atargo, when we don't kill a person, I would see Chasho if his ox went and killed the person. Nevertheless, he is held accountable. He should have guarded his ox, and he's held accountable in Shemayim. And this is Baha'i, you must be the Shemayim. This is a Kodesh Baruch was going to go and potentially give him some sort of a misa because he wasn't careful with his ox. But we see the Torah tells us that in that situation, if he pays the kofar, im kofar yusha solov, so then he will atone in that way, and therefore he won't get misa b'dei shemayim. So we see that in regards to misa b'dei shemayim, there is a potential to go and pay and not get punished. So I might have thought, yochol ab b'dei adam kein. I might have thought the same thing should apply, even b'dei adam. Now, this means, Rashi says, chai b'misas beistin, yipadu b'mamon. So the Gemara says, so this doesn't apply, yochol ab b'dei adam kein, Talmud Lomar. That's why we have this pasuk of Kocher Moshe Yochoram min ha'adam lo yipodeh. So we have this pasuk here to teach us Chayim min ha'adam lo yipodeh, coming to exclude this din over here by Misas Beistin. Now, we've already learned that previously, but we'll ask that in a moment. In any event, namely Ela Misos Chamuros shelo nitno shigigos l'chapar. Here the Gemara says, so that I might have only have thought that this would include those types of Misos that are Chamuros, as Rashi says in Dibur HaMaskul. Elamisos chamuros lo nitno shigigos lechapara kivan dekra lo parish kol misos. Since the pasuk doesn't say this is applicable for all misos, mainly elamisos chamuros shlo nitno shigigos lechapara. The Gemara says, so I might have said this would be for something. For example, Rashi says, "Umay niu kigon hose chabura biaviv ogonev nefesh biyisrael shein kapara ksuva bishigoso shein karis bizdono delechayev chatos bishigoso." These types of actions, for example, going and kidnapping somebody, or, Rahman al-Islam, hitting your father, making a chabura, so you chayv misa for these things, and nevertheless, if you did them shogeg, there is no potential alternative penalty like a chattis that you could pay, or that there is no idea of karis by them. So I would have said only for those types of capital crimes is a person not going to be allowed to go and pay to go and get away from the misas based in. However, misos kalos, I might have said the misos kalos. So actually says, "Hainu kol misos suamurus ben kares alzdono below hasra." Any misa for which, if you weren't given warning, then the punishment is kares. And if you did it in shogeg, the punishment is a chatos. For example, this is a standard ovi kolchavim iser. Rechmon l'san, you worship over this kolchavim, or chilul Shabbos, or any derayas. These are the classical cases where we call the misos kalos not because they're less chamor, but because the Torah gives a alternate penalty if you weren't given Hasra of Kares, and there's a penalty of a Chatas if you did it Bishogeg. So I might have thought that only those Misos Chamuros, the first Pasuk is needed for. That's the Pasuk that we had, V'lo Yehason. But now, how do we know that this applies across the board to even these, quote, Misos Kalos, Shnitna Shigos and Chapara, which we have a Chatas idea? Maybe, just like there's a chatos, so maybe there's also a potential that you could pay and not get the misas based in. How do we know that that's not true? Minayin? That's what we have all pasuk of Tabul Omar, Kol Cheirem, and the rest of the pasuk is Asher Yocharam in Ordom, Lo Yipodeh, most you must. That you can't do a pigeon on this, but you have to never be killed by based in. Mor says, wait a second. Below, we already learned that out as well. Below Mimela, Melo Sikhu Kofer, Shabbos Minah. But didn't we learn that out from Lo Sikhu Kofer? Then that teaches that the lo tishko mamona mine v'tiftirei, that you can't take money and go and get around that. So we don't need this pasuk. Therefore, kol chayim lomali, so this pasuk is really extra.
according to Rabbi Chananya and Akavya. So therefore, Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, Rabbi Bar Chama tells us, Itzrich. No, I do need this pasuk as well. Kol Cherim. Why? Salka Daito Chaminach. I might have said on my own, and we turn to Lamed Chesamad Aleph. Hani Mili, that this is true. Kol Cherim. Hecha Deharogo Derech Aliyah. That's if you killed in an upward direction. As the Gemara says, Shelo Nitno Shigoso L'chapara. That's only for things where there wouldn't be a shogeg type of punishment. For example, if you accidentally killed somebody in a downward motion, so then there is an atonement by going into galus. But if you kill them in an upward motion with which no punishment of galus, no din shigol kaparis, so then I would have said, fine, that's included. Abu harogu derech yirida, the nitna shigol kapara, I would have said, just like over there, but in a downward motion, there is a shogeg. If you killed somebody accidentally, there is a kapara of galus. So too, emanishko mamonamine benitre. Since we have this concept of a kapara, so maybe there's another way to get kapara instead of going into galus. I might have said maybe by giving money. So in an upward motion where there is no such concept, so I understand. I needed the drasha to come to tell me that you can't pay off instead of getting killed. But here, where there is, in a downward motion, there is an alternative atonement, such as if you did it b'shogeg, you get a kapara by going into galus, by going to the Ori Mikla, so I would have said, maybe too, emanishko mimona minei v'niftrei, you can take money. Kamash v'lan, that's not true. However, Amalei Rava says to Rami Bachama, who suggested this teretz, no, that we already learned that from the brisa that we have from the Tana d'Rechizkia a couple of days ago. Ho, I mean, the Tana d'Rechizkia nafka. The Tana d'Rechizkia, we learned the Beis Rechizkia. Remember, we had the famous Rishava over there, Maki Odom and Maki Behema, we compared the two, and we said, Ma Maki Behema, just like in regards to killing an animal. We didn't make any distinction, Lochalakta, but Bein Shogig Lemezig, Bein Miskabe, Lechena Miskabe, Bein Derech Yeridel, Derech Aliyah. We had no difference whatsoever. And under all circumstances, Odomu and Leolam, we said a person who went and damaged, killed somebody else's animal, so he has to go and pay no matter what. There is no chilik over here, Lepotra and Mamam, Elo, under all circumstances, Lechaibu Mamam. So too, we said the Gzeru Shabbat taught us Af Machi Adam that we don't make any such distinctions. Lo Tachlok Bo, Bein Shogi Lemeze, Bein Miskabe, Lechena Miskabe, Bein Derech Yeridel, Derech Aliyah, Lechaibu Mamam. It doesn't work. Elo Lepotra Mamam. We have the Komlemi the Rabbin, and we said it applies to all of these across the board. Whenever you have Machi Adam, so there is no distinction between any of the different ways. So therefore, Rami Bar Chama's teretz is not a good one. We'll stop over here, but tomorrow we'll pick up. Rami Bar Chama will give us a different teretz, and he'll tell us why the pasuk Kol Cherim is really needed. With this, we'll conclude today's share.